Amen. All right. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Beautiful Lord day. Say it's raining. I'm not complaining. Amen. Beautiful day. Glad to be here this morning. Take your Bible, open it to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. All right. Bible says serving the Lord is apt to teach. Supposed to be. One of these days I'm apt to. I'm not sure if it'll be today or not, but I'm going to give it a whirl. I got a message for you in Matthew 22, and let's begin reading in verse 34. And it says this, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" So you got the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're great skeptics and critics and are highly offended by the Lord Jesus Christ disrupting their religious system, just like they still are. The names have changed, but the scenario doesn't. And one of the Pharisees, in the context, it sticks it right in there. It says, which was a lawyer. And if you'd wasted as much money on lawyers as I have in your life, you'd probably get an extra little thrill when you hear Jesus rebuke them like he does. And it says he asked him a question, and there's no problem with that at all. The Lord doesn't have any problem with you asking him a question. And if you go to the Lord with the right heart, He'll reveal to you, He'll give you, He'll send you. He wants you to know the truth. The Bible says the truth will make you free. Amen. But when it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer," you need to understand that God knows the meditations of your heart before the words come out of your mouth. So this lawyer is asking a question, that in and of itself, not a problem, but the passage clarifies, reveals something about the guy's heart. It says, tempting him. He really wasn't interested in the truth, but he was trying to make a point. And he was trying to make a point, he was trying to trip the Lord up in some way, which is like really ridiculous. I don't know why people still keep trying to do it. But the question was valid, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? In verse 37, the Lord answered and said, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. I think Mark says, also adds, in his account, in all thy strength. And then the Lord says there in verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. So there you go. And a guy asked, there's the answer. All right? Oh, wait a minute. Verse 39, and the second is like unto it. Well, the guy didn't ask for the second. He just asked for the first. And what that teaches me right there is something. If you go to the Lord with a question, you better be prepared to get more than you asked for. More than you bargained for. He says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then verse 40, and this is where we're going to go with this thought. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, it appears to me that if we could get a hold of those two things, a lot of this other stuff that we fuss over would start to fall into place. I think it's a point the Lord's trying to make. And so this, again, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And both the commandments seriously have to do with love. All right? I'm not the love preacher, but, how do you get around it in the Word of God? And so I'm going to apologize in advance for the title to the message, especially to you former Beatle fans. Because this morning, Brother Frank, this morning's message will be called, All You Need Is Love. All You Need Is Love. I know that's probably starting to play in some of your minds right now. Amen. But the Bible says a lot about love, and rightfully so, it's very important. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So I want to preach to you this morning about, teach or whatever, however it comes out, all you need is love. Father, again, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful to those that are assembled here this morning. Pray that you'd bless our effort to draw nigh to thee through the Word of God, teaching and things like that. Everything's going on, other classes, bless the teachers, bless the kids. God bless our attempts to worship you today. And thank you for the liberty to do it. Thank you for the love. Help me to preach on it. May it be a blessing to you and these folks as well. And I pray it in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so since the Bible says a lot about love, let's start with pointing out a couple things that are right to love. There's some very 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. It's right to love God. It's right. Do you? Anybody love God? I asked that the other night. Amen. That's good. I believe you. But I want to tell you what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. It says, but if any man love God, that's what we just discussed, right? The same is known of him. So you can tell me you love God, but maybe the question would be, what are you known for? Amen. That takes it a little deeper than lip service on a Sunday. All right? So, but it's right to love God. Amen. It's right to love Jesus Christ. Absolutely. It says in John 8 and verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, those Pharisees, again, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. It is right to love Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16:22 said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. Amen. That's what it says. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be accursed. I brought so much curse upon myself. I don't want to be guilty of it now. That I've got on the straight and narrow. I don't want to say now that I'm religious, I'm not. I can't say now that I'm saved, because how can a saved person not love Jesus Christ? But it's in there for a reason, and I don't want to be guilty of not doing it, because I don't have any problem anywhere saying I love Jesus Christ. Not at all. Amen. And so we're talking about love's important, and there's some right things to love. Let me give you one out of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Yeah, you're supposed to love your wife. Oh, I love my wife. I get her a card, like, you know, when I don't forget the anniversary, things like that. But the verse goes on and it gets a little more specific, and it says, even as Christ also loved the church. Now that's high ground right there. And if that doesn't clarify it, the verse goes on to say, and gave himself for it. So that's how a man is supposed to love his wife. That is sacrificially. Totally. I mean, unto death. That's what the Bible says. Amen. It's right. I don't get to do much counseling. I'm an evangelist. Pastor's job is to comfort the afflicted, and he takes the time and counsels and all that. As an evangelist, my job is more to afflict the comfortable. How am I doing this week? Amen. Amen. I want to rattle you out of your comfort zone a little bit if you're in a little too deep. I don't get to do much counseling, but every once in a while, people will ask for my opinion. And usually my opinion is, go ask your pastor. But a couple times I have branched out into the field of counseling, and my method usually goes like this. Get a stinking grip. That's a problem with most people. They just need to get a grip. Amen. That Bible says, husbands, love your wives. I've had guys complain to me. I said, look, you know what you need to do? I said this to husbands. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to be teaching. I've told husbands and wives, no. I've told husbands that you just go home and get that DVD out of your wedding where you stood before God and made vows. Before God, that you're going to honor one another. Amen. It is right to love your wife. And I'll tell you something else, ladies, it's right to love your husband. It says in Titus chapter 2, talking about the older women, that's older as in the Lord. Amen. It says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. That doesn't come natural. It even goes out of state to love your children. Say, oh, I just love my children. Now, I'm going to tell you what comes natural, to love yourself first. And I'm going to tell you what, for you to love someone else more than yourself is going to take a work of God. For the men, for the women, for all of us. That's just how we're wired. All right? But it's right. It's right to love your husband. It's right to love your wife. It's right to love your children. Amen. I'll tell you something else. It's right to love his appearing. Oh, yeah. Paul said in, 2 Timothy chapter 4, for I'm now ready to be offered the time of my departure in his hand. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. And then he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Buddy, I'm telling you what, if anybody deserved it, it was Paul. Yep. And then he says, and not to me only, but unto all, them also that love his appearing. Now, Paul had to suffer like he did and go through the things that he did and look forward to the Lord's returning, and he's going to get a crown of righteousness. You don't really think you're going to get a crown of righteousness by waking up saying, oh, I hope the Lord comes back today. You're going to get it the same way Paul did. You're going to get it by fighting a good fight and finishing your course and keeping the faith. But I'm telling you what, it's right to love his appearing. So the Bible says a lot about love. After all, our message this morning is called All You Need Is Love. All right? So, and I don't want to hear the band strumming on that later. See, I'm uneducated. Orchestra. Okay. So, but there's some, hey, the Bible says a lot about love, but that includes some wrong things to love. It says this in chapter John. You know, that sounded good, didn't it? 1 John chapter 2. In verse 15, love not the world. Yeah, and then it doesn't even stop there. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't say Jesus doesn't still love you, but it says love not the world. I'm going to tell you what will happen if you do. It'll keep you from having the right love for the right things. You fall in love with the world and the things of this world, how are you going to love the Lord like you should, love God like you should, love your wife or love your husband like you should? Your love, your affection is focused on the wrong stuff. So that's the wrong thing to love, this world. It's wrong to love darkness. Yeah, it says so in John chapter 3 and 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and boy, has it ever. That light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Amen. I used to love darkness. I mean, my day started about 9 o'clock at night. We'd sleep to about noon, sleep it off, and then putter around in the afternoon, do whatever you got to do to get a motorcycle running or whatever. But, buddy, when that sun started going down, that's when we were like vampires. I'm thinking about it now. And people asked me one time, they said, Brother Spurgeon, do you ever run into the old crowd now that you're a Christian? I said, actually not, because when I got saved, I went on day shift. I started going to bed at a decent hour. Amen. I started getting up early. The only time my crowd got up early was when they had to be in court. Didn't I mention that last night? You know, with a suit and tie. And amen. And that's why, let me tell you something about tattoos. Back in the old days, the rule of thumb was this right here. Now, they weren't fashion statements back then. They seem to be now. Even Christians are falling for it. Amen. Well, you shouldn't. You really shouldn't. I mean, if there's an example of worldly lust, you know, we're supposed to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that's probably it. Okay? They don't wash off. Take it from somebody that knows. But the old days, the rule of thumb was to keep the tattoos above the wrist. Okay? Above the wrist, below the neck. Why? So that if you have to go on the run or go to court, you could shave off the beard, cut your hair, and pay some lawyer to tell lies about you, and get a suit, and look kind of normal. That's kind of hard to do, an old dragon coming up around your head, you know, like these days, and so I don't get that. But I went on day shift when I got saved, and hallelujah, because I'm telling you, the Bible says it's a condemnation to love darkness. You better be careful. Better be careful about dabbling around with some of that stuff. It's wrong to love pleasure. And listen, I'm not saying it's wrong to have a good time. I have a great time. Amen. I have a good time in church. I have a good time riding my motorcycle. I have a good time. Well, that's about the only two things. But anyway, I tried fishing. That didn't work. And hunting, I got a little technicality there. Amen. Has to do with guns. Amen. But it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and the passage refers to the last days. This one also in the last days, perilous times should come. And verse number 4 says that men should be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And that's where we are these days. Amen. And that extends right into churches. I remember in 2001, right after 9/11, I was down in Georgia somewhere preaching and got a copy of the newspaper. I had heard that we had sent the Theodore Roosevelt, the battle group, whatever they call it. I'm not a Navy guy, but they sent the Theodore Roosevelt and everything with it to Afghanistan and started throwing bunker busters at Osama bin Laden. Now, I was an infantryman. I have no idea what a bunker buster is or a cluster bomb. I don't know what that, but I like the sound of it. I mean, where do you get a job designing that stuff? Amen. That's a good thing. Amen. So I wanted to. I had heard that we are bombing, and I'm a patriot. I know our country's a mess. It's because of people. Can I tell you? So I got a newspaper because I wanted to read up on it. And I get a newspaper. And I was down in Georgia because I got a copy of the Atlanta Constitution Journal. I think that's the name of their newspaper, Constitution Journal, something like that. It's all appropriate. I want to read and. So the front page, I'm trying to piece it back together in my mind. The front page, I think, had to do with a football. And then I flip in farther, and I got the Country Music Awards. And then I keep going through the thick paper, and the next thing has to do with the latest movie. And I might have them out of order, but I know this. It took me about page 18 before I could read anything about Americans at war. That's how messed up we are. We're way more interested in MTV and the Avenger movies than we are anything that has to do with God. That's what it says, an indication of the last days. And you read through 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's like the State of the Union message. Amen. And not just for the heathen, beloved. So pleasure's not the right thing to love, for sure, and... Hey, listen, I've talked to people who've had people visit their pastors, that have people that visit their church, and one of the first questions was it wasn't the Word of God, it was what kind of activities do you have here? And there's people that are looking for churches because of things that excite the flesh, and they're not even concerned with feeding the Spirit. That's the wrong reason to go to church. Amen? Pleasure is the wrong thing to love. Amen. The Bible says in that same passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's the problem. See, that's what modern Christianity does, is to help you feel better about yourself. Amen. No matter what's going on, come and we'll make... You know what the problem is in the world today? Is people already feel too good about themselves. It's all about them. I hate to break it to you this morning. It is not all about you. It isn't all about me. It's all about Jesus Christ plus nothing minus nothing. Amen. You get that thing out of order, and you're out of order. Wrong things to love. First, this is just the outline. I mean the introduction. This is not the outline. I haven't even got to the outline. I don't know why I said that. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says this, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. The love of money. Money, could I tell you this morning, money is the wrong thing to love? Money is a terrible way to keep score in this life. Amen. We had old sayings back in the old days. They weren't exclusive to us or anything, but things that would go around. One of it was, money talks. How many ever heard that expression, money talks? Yeah, mine talks. You know what it says? Goodbye. I mean, raising them kids, I got to the point where I'd pull a $20 bill out of my wallet, and I'd look at Andrew Jackson, and I go, goodbye, because I know I ain't getting no change. Amen. There's another subject that says, money has no home. Another saying, money has no home. Anybody heard that? Money has no home. I don't know about that. I don't know. All I know is this, none lives at my house. Amen. The world says money spells success. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Take your Bible and go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. You have a great commentary on the world today in verse 23. And verse 24. So Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Again, I want to say the world says money spells success, but that's not what the Bible says. In verse 23, the Bible says this, thus saith the Lord. Here you go. Now, this isn't somebody's opinion here. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his wisdom. Those are the three things today that every institution of higher learning will tell you are the most important things. Wisdom, might, you know, there's all emphasis on sports, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. Verse 24, it says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. You better be glad of that. Judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You want to get closer to God, you read through your Bible and you make a note of what God doesn't like and quit liking it. You go through there and you find what God likes and you start liking it more. And I'm going to tell you something, you're going to need help. Because the flesh gravitates more toward the wrong list, so God will help you. But you got to ask Him, because guarantee it doesn't come natural. That's why it's addressed in the Bible. Amen? So there's some wrong things to love. It says in Matthew 24 and verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And iniquity abounds when your love is influenced by and directed toward the wrong things. Amen? That lawyer asked the Lord, Master, what is the great commandment? Commandment in the well, now I gotta go look at it again. Okay, it says, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Amen. A lot about love. Now that's the introduction. Let's just get to the real quick outline here. Real simple. Real quick. Sometimes you have a long outline and a short message. That's what you're hoping for right now. And so it says in verse 37 again, he answered the question, and Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and all thy mind. Let me tell you something, beloved. You need to love the Lord. I mean, you need to love the Lord. And we read Revelation 4 and 11 last night. If you weren't here or want to turn to it, you can go ahead and turn to it. Let me just say about it, it seems fair that you would love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, because Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God created you. God created you on the days you're happy about it. God created the days on the days you're not happy about it. God created you whether you're saved or not, or whether you're backslid or not. You were created by Him. Here's what that means right there. You ought to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, because if it wasn't for Him, you wouldn't have any of them. That's right. He's worthy. He's worthy of your love. And we would. I'm going to tell you something else. If we could learn to love the Lord with all our heart, it would be so much harder to fall in love with the things that break His heart. You hear me? If we could love Him like we ought to, it'd be a lot harder for the other stuff that we struggle with, that our flesh has. You know, that Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That doesn't come natural. If you don't make a point, do that. Let me tell you something. Your flesh, my flesh, nobody's flesh has any desire to set its affection. We're talking about love this morning. And it has any desire to set its affection on things it can't see, taste, touch, feel, smell. Remember the five senses? That's what your flesh is interested in. Total self-gratification. Amen? And we need to love the Lord, amen, or we'll love something else. And it'll be the wrong something else. Amen? Remember this, it says in 3 John chapter 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's God's take on it. That as it refers to you and I. As a parent, isn't that the case with you? No greater joy? Doesn't sometimes the Bible speak volumes by what it doesn't say or by the antithesis of what it does say? If it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, would that also mean that there's no greater sorrow than to hear that your children don't walk in truth? Wouldn't that be accurate? I think that's accurate. Amen? We need to love the Lord. Beloved, because it's right. Amen? Not because it feels good. It's because it's right. All right? And then the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what it said in verse 39. So loving your neighbor is one thing. If it said, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor. And then the pious Christian would go, yes, yes, I see that. I love my neighbor. I don't let my dog go to the bathroom in his yard. I don't throw garbage over the fence. It doesn't say, love thy neighbor. That'd be easy. It says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Boy, that's where the hair stands up on the back of the neck, because that flesh doesn't like the competition. That's where the rubber meets the road. You can tell me all day long, oh, I love Jesus. Okay, all right, but the proof is, do you do what he says? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Amen? So he's got a way of defining whether or not, you know, you're just talking or you're really walking the way he wants you to walk. Maybe here's what you're going to say. Who is my neighbor? I'm glad you asked. You and me the first, go to Luke 10. Who is my neighbor? Okay? I live in a motorhome, so it changes every week. Amen. Except for this week. I don't have any neighbors. Darling said, how'd you sleep? I said, I sleep good in the project. Okay, never mind. It says, actually, but Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and you know, here we go with the lawyer again. I love that. Okay, Luke chapter 10, I think it's verse 20-something, 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. Here we go. Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he goes through, okay, I'll read it. He says, and answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. There's Luke's account. With all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. He asked a question, he got an answer. But he's not happy. He's a lawyer. He's got to keep talking. And verse 29, but he, willing to justify himself. You know, by the way you live, you will either justify what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, or you'll spend your whole life justifying yourself. And that's what this guy's doing. Willing to justify himself. Says, and who is my neighbor? I can see it. Amen. Who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Here's a religious guy. I mean, the Bible makes a point to say he's a priest. I don't know what denomination he was, but I tell you what, he didn't want to have nothing to do with that guy. I mean, he probably spotted him. He ignored it. But that's what modern Christianity is doing. They're ignoring the problems and the conditions of this world. They're singing, though. I mean, they can sing Kumbaya like nobody's business. Amen? But they're ignoring the problem. So this is a religious guy, but he didn't help him. And then verse 32, and likewise a Levite. Now we got another religious guy, only this guy is of the right religion. Amen. This is a Jew. And likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. This is like a Bible believer here. This is like a Bible believer. This guy knows right from wrong. He didn't ignore the guy. He probably just stood at the top, on the edge of the road, looked down at the guy in the ditch, said, "Wonder what you did to deserve that." See, we got just enough, if we're not careful, we get just enough Bible in us that we judge everybody else, but we ain't helping too many people. That's good. I was just getting ready to amen myself again. Not really. Some places I got to do that. Amen. You have to do it here next time. I don't care. As long as there's a next time, I'm good. All right, so this guy, he just judged him. And then comes along a Samaritan. Let me see, verse 33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto them, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay him.'" This a Samaritan is a not just a commoner. A Samaritan were heathen. Amen. Jews weren't even supposed to have anything to do with them. Amen. Let me remind you something. That book says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "And such were some of you." Amen. This Samaritan, I mean, he went way out of his way. He helped. He even spent money on him. Wow. Amen. And Jesus said, "Which now," verse 36, "which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And the guy answered. He said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." He answered right there, didn't he? He that showed mercy. Could I tell you something this morning? Jesus Christ had mercy on you. You might not have been beaten half to death, laying in a ditch, but you are heading for one. You are headed for a blazing ditch, an eternal ditch on your way to a lake of fire. Amen. The Bible says this, "On these 2 commandments hang all the law." And let me say this, if you're in here this morning and you're not saved, you're still headed toward that lake of fire. Now, you better get in on the love of Jesus Christ while you can. This isn't about going to church. This is about going to Calvary. Yeah. Amen. This is about understanding that Jesus Christ died for you. Yeah. Amen. Now, so he said this, "On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And both, how do you get around it? Both have to do with love. If you got a problem with that, take it up with the author. Amen? So here, I'll wrap it up, sort of, kind of. Okay, not really. The right kind of love for the right things is all you need. And a lot of things would begin to fall in place on their own. And a lot of issues Christians get bogged down with wouldn't even be issues if we could get this thing down. Now we have a problem, don't we? We got an evangelist, and we got 2 commandments. 2 points. No way, right? So, take your Bible, go to John 13. 13. Yeah, forget the donut, I'm not done yet. John chapter 13. And here's what the Lord said in verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." In Matthew 22 and in places in Mark and Luke, it gives us the first commandment, the second commandment, and we needed a third point, so he gave us another commandment. And it has to do with what? Love. It has to do with us loving one another, like I talked about last night. You know what the atheists try to do? They try to convince others that God's not real. And Jesus Christ says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." He gives us the key to letting the world know that he is real. And it has to do with us treating one another right. It has to do with us loving one another. Amen? I travel around, I get asked, you know, I don't know why, but what do you see as you travel around? I don't like I'm some great philosopher. I'm not. Amen. I see that my biggest problem meets me in the bathroom mirror every morning. That's what I see. Amen. Same as you. I'm here to tell you. I'll tell you what I see traveling around is too many Christians have a motorcycle gang mentality. So what does that mean? Well, somebody can, you know, when there's specials on TV that I've not seen, that talk about the Hell's Angels or the Outlaws or some of these other organizations, and somebody came to me and says, why were you guys at war with each other? Y'all look the same, y'all like doing the same things, y'all seem to be so much so alike, but you're killing each other. Why is that? I'm not even going to try to answer that, but I'm going to tell you right now, some Christians have that kind of mentality. If somebody's not wearing our colors, I mean, they get from 20 feet away, they can look identical. But if they don't dot every I and cross every T exactly like we do, they're at the least inferior, and sometimes we make them into the enemy. That's all rooted in elitism and stinking pride. And the Bible says we're to love one another. I don't know how you get around that. I don't like it all the time either. I don't like a lot of stuff in the Bible all the time. It pricks my heart. It convicts my flesh. But I've had to make a decision that maybe you've made and maybe some of you need to make. When you don't line up with that book, the book's right. Amen. It's like the guy said, you can disagree with God just so long as at the end of the day you know he's right and you're wrong. Amen. Amen. So there's the 3 points. We need to love the Lord and love our neighbor. That's a lost world. And we need to love one another. Amen. All you need is love. Now listen, don't go home and dig your albums out. Amen. If you do, smash them. Why haven't you already? Okay, don't put them on eBay. If it's a sin for you, it's not good for somebody else either. Amen. So let me close with this, and you can turn there, Romans chapter 8. And verse 38, and Paul wrote this, and you ought to love these passages, I sure do. And he wrote this, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the what? Love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. It says nothing. Isn't that a blessing? That makes the devil a liar. That makes about 90% of your religionists liars too. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ loved you and I, and he proved it. He proved it on Calvary. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he's worthy of our love. But you know this too, he won't force it on you. He won't force you to love him. But I just admonish you this morning that if anything has taken his rightful place on the throne of your life, how about addressing that? How about addressing that before you leave the building? Maybe before you leave the auditorium. You do business with God however you choose. But I tell you what, when the Holy Spirit bears witness, there is no better time and there's no better place. As soon as we say amen and everybody's up and the kids are moving around, you'll lose some of this. The Bible says Satan cometh immediately. And he's sneaky. All right? So you do with it what you want. Let me say this as I close. Maybe you're in there and you're not saved. Amen. Let me tell you something. Love will cure that. Love will take care of that. It says right on the sign. But God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, you can't get around it. People say, I don't want to hear about love. Oh, well, that's why you don't read your Bible, I guess. Now listen, if you're not saved in here today, why don't you give him your sin once and for all? You get his righteousness, his forgiveness, he gets your sin. Now come on, let's just think practically. That's the best trade you're ever going to get. All right, so Father, we thank you, God, for the liberty that I prayed for this hour and pray that something was said would be a help and a blessing. And God, if there is somebody in here that's not saved, please make it easy for them to see they need to be saved and they can be saved. And we just thank you, God, for grace, and we pray it for everything that goes on the rest of the day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.